Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Countless people enjoy a taste for the finer things of life, including fine whiskey. That's why the U.S. whiskey market is expected to grow at 6% annually and hit $85 billion in revenue by 2027. For those with a refined taste this holiday, the World Whiskey Society has released its latest collection of single malts for its reserve collection, aged 32 and 33 years. World Whiskey Society, founded in 2020, is a company that offers rare and unique expressions from nearly every whiskey category from across the globe. The range includes the Doc Holliday lineup of bourbons aged for up to a decade, different cast finished whiskeys aged in sherry and Muzanera oak. The new Macallan single malts aged for more than three decades should appeal to any whiskey collector. Here today to tell us more about the company and the technology is World Whiskey Society Ambassador Jordan McGee. And Jordan, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you're certainly more than welcome. Great to have you out and looking forward to hearing all the details here today. I'm sure you have grabbed the attention of the audience. So if you would, for starters, tell us more about the World Whiskey Society and how and why it was founded.
Yeah, absolutely. So the World Whiskey Society was created to kind of go against a lot of the major forces that are happening in whiskey, bourbon, scotch right now, which is, you know, products that are a combination of, you know, a blend of barrels. So if you buy a bourbon that's just sitting on the shelf or a scotch, that could have, you know, a dozen or more barrels that actually go into that bottle because it's a blend, because they want to create a really uniform flavor profile. So what World Whiskey Society focuses on is a lot on single barrels, limited releases, things that are going to taste different every time. So literally goes against a lot of the market forces where they want things to taste the same. So our goal really is to focus on finding really special single barrels that distilleries may not even want because it goes against their normal profile. So we find those barrels, bottle them. Well, you know, sometimes we'll finish it in something else to really accentuate a lot of those notes that may stand out in that barrel. So a lot of it is really just to kind of go against, you know, the major driving market forces right now and really kind of go in its own direction.
I'm sure those whiskey connoisseurs are already appreciating the details shared so far, and we're just a couple of minutes in. Now, how is WWS seeking to transform the status quo in the industry with limited edition collections of handcrafted whiskeys? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so great question. So right now, and I'll use an example, we just released a 10-year-old whiskey that is finished in tequila barrels. There also is a fantastic 10-year-old finished in a port cask, finished in a cognac cask. And what's cool is there are different batches of this. So the first batch had its own flavor profile. The second batch, same exact thing. So even if you're buying a bottle that off the shelf looks the same, because it's once again coming from a single barrel and it's coming from a very limited batching of it, even bottles that have the exact same, you know, name on it, 10-year finished in port cask, for example, it's going to taste different depending on which bottling and release it comes from. And it's one reason every single bottle is hand numbered with its own proof and its own individual number to make it easier to identify that as well.
Now, also, if you would, talk to us about some of the collections and the differences between the classic, diamond, or reserve collection. I'm sure listeners would appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the classic collection, I really like to think of, it's, you know, your classic, you know, bourbons, but with a twist. So you're taking very classic flavor profiles, as I just mentioned. So there's a bourbon that's finished in a tequila barrel, with the idea being, you know, let's take a very classic flavored bourbon and let's, you know, find either a barrel that's going to contrast with the flavors you find in it, or one that's really going to complement something in it. So if you have a bourbon that, you know, has, we'll say, you know, some citrus notes that are in there, which is unusual for bourbon, but does exist, you know, these kind of lime zest, lemon juice that can be in special bourbons, and then put in tequila barrel where those flavors are just enhanced even more. And then you've got the reserve collection, which is frankly some insane stuff. As you mentioned, there's a 33-year-old Macallan on there. There are 32-year-old scotches from other distilleries as well. So the Reserve Collection is really, it's the pinnacle of the brand. It's things you're not going to find anywhere else. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a 30-year-old plus Macallan sitting on a shelf somewhere. And then you've got the Diamond Collection, which is really focused in cognac. But I think actually the collection I may be, I don't want to say most excited about, because I'm really excited about that 33-year-old Macallan, is the Doc Holliday line, which is, you know, it's a bourbon, but it's a bourbon that is incredibly unique and has its own special story, which is Ivy Mountain Distillery in North Georgia closed. And those barrels that were sitting in there were moved to Texas for 2 years, where they were rediscovered by World Whiskey Society and then brought back to Georgia. So they were named after Doc Holliday, obviously, because he grew up in Georgia, moved to Texas, and then came back to Georgia. So it just felt like a really fitting name. So that bourbon, it has a mash bill that's completely unique, especially in the use of malted corn. Most people are familiar with malted barley, of course, being used in bourbon, but malted corn is kind of an unusual flavor component. It actually has its roots in moonshining, because malted barley wasn't readily available. So, you know, you use what you've got, so you use malted corn. But the fact it was aged in two different climates gives it an incredible flavor profile that frankly is unlike any other bourbon that's out there, especially when you get up to, you know, the 10-year-old in that series. It's some cool stuff. So really, like I said, you've got the classic, which is classic collection is, you know, your classic bourbon, but with awesome finishes behind it. There's a 15-year-old bourbon finished in Muzonere oak. And then there's a non-age statement version of that as well. And then you've got, like I said, the tequila cask finish. You've got the port cask finish, which is one of my personal favorites as well. You've got the reserve, which is those incredibly limited edition scotches. You have a 12-year bourbon finished in Oloroso sherry casks that are also under that collection. So like I said, reserve is really kind of the pinnacle. And then that Doc Holliday collection, which is the bourbon.
The way you describe the collections and the differences between the classic Diamond and Reserve collection, I got to tell you, not only make it interesting, but quite appealing. Well done. Today we're speaking with Jordan McGee. He is a World Whiskey Society ambassador and the co-founder of Atlanta Whiskey Society. As a whiskey enthusiast and with his professional palate, he is a leading whiskey reviewer and also leads tasting events. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, how is the whiskey sourced and which countries do you source it from? I'm sure that would be interesting to hear some details on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we source from all over. Obviously, you know, we source both barrels from overseas, as well as locally here, as well as we source a lot of Japanese single malts. And Japanese single malts are actually, it's super interesting because Japanese single malt isn't actually a legally defined category. So there's a lot of different spirits that can fit within that. Some fit under the, you know, we'll call it distilled soju category. Others are legitimate single malt whiskeys made in the Scottish style, which makes it really hard for the average consumer, because if you go into a store, see a Japanese single malt on the shelf, how do you know what you're really getting? Is it actually, you know, a Japanese single malt whiskey that's distilled in Japan versus ones where it may have been actually distilled in Scotland and then shipped over. So one of the cool things is we make sure to source things that are not only unique and special, but actually have the quality behind it to back that up. So we source really from all over, from, like I said, both the barrels and the actual juice itself, whether it's bourbon from Kentucky or it's a single malt from Japan or Scotch, obviously, from Scotland. It's all about just finding kind of those barrels that, you know, whether the distillery decided it didn't fit a particular flavor profile or ones that were just really special. You know, really kind of, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's all about what's in that actual barrel that makes it special.
Again, it's very, very interesting. Some good details there. And also another question for you. Are the 31 and 32-year-old available to purchase online? I'm sure listeners definitely want me to jump in and make sure they're made aware of that.
So unfortunately, they are not. They are coming directly from the distributor. The rest of the lines are available to purchase online, but the 30-plus-year-old scotches are coming from the distributor.
Yeah, thanks for removing all doubt on that. I really appreciate it and understandable as well. Now, for the whiskey lover, what are some recommendations this year in terms of holiday gifts that you would have and any new products to make us aware of as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you can go with the classic, you know, get somebody a bottle of whiskey. But oftentimes that actually can be a little bit hard. I don't know how many times I've walked into stores looking for something myself and end up helping somebody because, you know, they're buying a bottle for a friend or coworker. They know they like whiskey, but don't actually know what they like. And it can be really difficult too, because, you know, typically I ask them, you know, oh, do they drink, you know, scotches? Do they drink bourbon? Do they drink rye? And more often than not, I'm met with, I know they like whiskey, but I don't know what they like outside of that. So, you know, buying bottles actually can be hard sometimes, especially if you don't know exactly what somebody enjoys. Typically, actually, what I recommend, especially if you're in that camp of you're not sure what that person drinks, I actually recommend looking into glassware. There's tons of innovation happening within the glassware space. I have three glasses I typically rotate between when I do reviews, just because glasses can change so much about a whiskey, and it's something that people don't usually think about. You know, you've got a classic Glencairn, you've got several different others on the market. So typically I recommend, you know, if you're not sure what bottle to buy, look into getting a really interesting whiskey glass. As an example, I've had friends who I poured them the same whiskey, two different glass types, and they think it's a different whiskey. Something just as simple as the glass you're drinking it out of can have that profound of an impact. Now, on the flip side, if you know somebody likes bourbon or they like Japanese whiskey or they like scotch, obviously, I'm biased. I recommend the products in the World Whiskey Society lineup because they are special and they are unique. And they're frankly collector's items for the fact that, you know, they're one-offs. As I mentioned previously, even if you buy a 10-year port cask finish, it's going to have different flavors from the previous batch. Now, obviously, it's not a massive gamut, so much so where, you know, you'll like one and not necessarily the other. But those differences, I think, are super cool, because you can buy two of the same bottles from two different batches and compare and contrast them together. So if you're not sure what whiskey they drink, I recommend glassware. And if you do know what they like, you know, especially if they're a bourbon drinker, find out if they like finished products. And if they don't, you know, like I said, we've got our Doc Holliday lineup that is just a classic bourbon through and through, with something a little extra special on top of that.
In addition, I'd be interested, if you would, get into the finishing design of the bottles and packaging and why this is so important when it comes to branding. It sure is, and it includes the experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of my favorite questions to answer, because so often when somebody sees, you know, an awesome bottle on the shelf, they typically assume that if the bottle's special or the bottle's fancy, the juice inside probably isn't very good. And honestly, more often than not, that's usually correct. A really nice bottle is designed to cover up the fact that the juice is not as special. The World Whiskey Society is the antithesis of that. So not only are the bottles beautiful, the juice inside is also incredible. So I'll use an example. We have a new 10-year-old Kentucky bourbon that is, the bottle is literally a glass unicorn. The bottle's gorgeous. I actually gifted one of those to a friend of mine recently. But the juice inside is also spectacular. So we did a tasting of that with some friends recently when I gifted it, and everyone expected, you know, the 10-year-old Kentucky whiskey, everyone had a pretty good idea what to expect, but we were all blown away by the fact that the bottle was just as good as the juice inside, which was completely counterintuitive to so many other brands in the market. On top of that, really, I think kind of the future of whiskey right now, especially as, you know, well-aged whiskey is getting harder and harder to find, and those stocks are drying up, is finishing. Finishing is kind of the new frontier of whiskey right now, whether it's, you know, this past weekend, I had a rye whiskey that was finished in a spiced rum barrel from a local company in Orlando, and it was incredible. Tasted like apple fritters mixed with cinnamon rolls. It was amazing. And then you've got the cognac cask from World Whiskey Society that tastes like a cross between a blueberry pie and, you know, vanilla ice cream. So it's a chance, like I said earlier, to kind of pull in both flavors that are either contrasting or complementing to the existing whiskey, and really kind of just exploring that whole space and changing that final product so much. And the cool thing about that is you can do that with younger whiskeys as well. You know, a lot of World Whiskey Society stuff either fits into that six-year category, which is a little bit on the younger side, but actually it's still pretty well-aged. And then you've got the 10-year, which is kind of the perfect age for bourbon and whiskey. You know, typically 10 to 12 years is kind of that sweet spot. So, you know, by doing a different finishing cast, you can do so much with it, and you can do so much with, you know, with bourbon. Whereas previously, the only differences you could do were, you know, different mash bills, you know, different ingredients, things like that, and kind of playing with those ratios and different, you know, corn from Iowa is going to taste different than corn from Kentucky. But yeah, I think finishing is genuinely the new frontier of whiskey.
Mr. McGee, we want to thank you for joining us here today on behalf of the World Whiskey Society, and some fabulous details here today on your products and collections. No doubt about that. I'm sure you have whet the appetite, no pun intended, on those tuning in today. Where can folks go to purchase, and do you ship everywhere in the world or just to select countries? Touch on that as we conclude today.
So right now, we just ship to select countries. We ship currently to most U.S. states. Now, there are some states we can't ship to just due to local laws, etc. But yeah, so these products can be found in select retailers. Typically, bigger box stores will usually carry it, as well as online at worldwhiskeysociety.com.
And also, listeners, as always, you can find that link also included within the show notes of this broadcast. Mr. McGee, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on EPN. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're more than welcome anytime. Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Jordan McGee, who is a World Whiskey Society ambassador and the co-founder of Atlanta Whiskey Society. And for all the details, simply visit worldwhiskey.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.